Somebody hid my homily. Here. I found it. The word evangelization comes from a New Testament word, evangelium. This word is derived from a classical Greek word, which basically meant a reward. A reward usually given to someone bringing good news, often about winning a battle. Imagine a city anxiously awaiting news about the final outcome of a terrible war, upon which their whole survival depended. If a messenger brings back a word of glorious victory, imagine all the honor and rewards that would be heaped upon him. Now, for Christians, the proclamation of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and of the Lord's victory over sin and death, is the most wonderful good news that has ever been announced or ever been heard. And this proclamation of the gospel, I have to say, is not just the duty of priests and deacons, of missionaries, and of consecrated religious. Every single baptized and confirmed believer, every Catholic who is nourished by the Holy Eucharist, is called personally by Jesus Christ and commissioned by the Lord to share the good news with everyone they meet. All Christians are given the vocation of bringing Christ to all the world. Christian evangelists are witnesses to the glory of the cross and the power of the resurrection. All Christian evangelists and brothers, that's all of you and myself, all of us have to know the Lord and have a personal experience of Jesus as our teacher, our Lord, and our Savior. Evangelists know their sins have been forgiven through the precious blood of Christ. Evangelists know they have been born again through water and the Holy Spirit. Evangelists personally know that they have been filled with the Holy Spirit and all the transforming gifts of the Spirit. Evangelists have to know they are children of God, destined by God for heaven. Evangelists must know that they have been captured by the gift of God's love. Evangelists must know they themselves are personally in love with the Lord. And you, my brothers, are therefore called to experience all of these tremendous truths. You are all called to be evangelists, that is, messengers of good news. Now imagine if someone were to discover the cure for cancer, or how to produce limitless energy, or how to help the Chicago Cubs win a national pennant. It would be unthinkable to keep that kind of miraculous information a secret. Yet there are those who call themselves Christians, but who act as if their faith were only a private, personal matter. Brothers, I am now 67 years of age. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. One day I was young, skinny, and agile. Now I'm old, fat, and creaky. I have also been a professed religious since 1967. I've been a priest for 40 years, a bishop since 1997, and your bishop for the last 12 years. But if I don't get up every morning determined to be on fire for Jesus Christ, my Christianity is basically a lie, and my life of faith a failure. And the very same challenge should just be as true for you as for me. If you are not psyched up about Christ and passionate about the truth of the gospel, you aren't much of a Catholic man. Our Christian vocation is to love our God with our whole heart, mind, strength, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Christianity is always necessarily a radical way of life. Christianity demands total commitment. Christianity is always good news to be shared. Isn't that why we come together every year for this Men's March? To remember the things we must never forget, but always must try to live, and to challenge one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. God is calling you to be militant men of faith in your own families, in your parishes, in your communities, where you work, where you live, and where you play. I have a few practical suggestions you might consider about continuing your personal ongoing conversion to the Lord. Now, I would guess most of you are married men. So what if you determined with your wives never to let a day go by without a shared prayer? You are all married in Christ, so your relationship with your spouse should be grounded in Christ. Every day you might read just a small passage together of the Holy Scriptures. You might pray the rosary, or even just a decade of the rosary. And at the very least, you might hold her hand and say the Lord's Prayer before falling asleep, no matter what else may have taken place, including arguments in the course of the day. Miracles happen if we invite God to be a part of our own lives. And what about your children? When they are little, do you pray with them every day and bless them every night before they fall asleep? And as they get older, are you then ashamed to bless them before they go out? Is Sunday Mass at the heart of your family life? And are you willing to risk an argument about keeping the Lord's Day holy? Are you willing to risk talking about God when God gives you a teachable moment with your children or your grandchildren? And if there's a son or a daughter or a grandchild, a brother or a sister, a good friend who has fallen away from the practice of the faith, perhaps you might consider adding a weekday Mass to your Sunday Mass for their intentions. Quietly, let them know you are praying for them in the best possible way. The Mass truly makes present all the powerful grace of the glorious death and rising of Jesus. Remember, on the cross, Christ destroyed death, triumphed over Satan, trampled hell underfoot, and won for us everlasting life. God's endless power and your persistent prayer and your willingness to give a timely word of witness may bring them back to the Lord. Perhaps you know someone who is divorced, someone who had something to do with an abortion, someone who is angry with the church, someone who is mad at some priest or pastor, heck, maybe even someone who's mad at me. Maybe it's someone you meet who themselves has never met the Lord. If God gives you the opportunity, the moment, listen to them, talk to them, witness to them, and share your own faith. And there's always endless needs in your communities. Snow to be shoveled, grass to be cut, porches to be repaired, walls to be painted, hymns to be sung, kids to be coached, envelopes to be collected, offerings to be counted, and committees to be staffed. Remember, what you do for others, you're doing it really for the Lord. And by your generosity, you are making Christ present in a world that will always need Jesus and his gospel. And when you come to communion today at this Mass, be ready to listen to what the Lord may say to you. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. Jesus wants and enjoys your company. Jesus invites your strength and your loyalty. Jesus asks, Jesus demands a lifetime of your love. If you are wounded, he's the doctor. If you are thirsty, he is the refreshing spring. If you are oppressed by sin, he is forgiveness. If you need help, he is endless power. If you flee the darkness, he is light. If you fear death, he is life without end. If you desire heaven, he is the way. If you are hungry, he is the bread that has come down from heaven. If in ancient days evangelists were greatly rewarded simply for bringing good news about winning some worldly battle, how much more will the almighty and eternal Lord of battles reward you for living the gospel and announcing Jesus to everyone you meet? The end of your lives on this earth, Mary and Joseph and all the saints and angels will go out to greet you. And all those who have gone before you, marked with a sign of faith, will welcome you into paradise. You will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You will see your God face to face, and you will know the fullness of his great love for all eternity. So, the Christian life is a life worth living. The Christian life is a truth that is necessarily announced. This is the good news that can change us. This is the gospel that can change the world yesterday, today, and forever.